my real wake-up call was when I missed meetings after meetings at work, and my manager comes to me and she's like, it's a serious issue, we can't rely on you. And I realized, it just like hit me like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna lose my job. I was blind. I didn't even realize that I was blind. Life just seemed a dread and a chore, and video games seemed like the only good thing. And then at the same time, after video games, it felt terrible. I felt terrible about myself. I honestly can remember thinking, there's no way I'm gonna get out of this, because this feels like a complete trap. I didn't feel like I was free anymore. I started feeling like I had to. At that point, it's like, well, this is it. Like, it's all or nothing. If I want anything like a life that I'm proud of, this is the next step.
Before we get started, are you ready to take control over gaming? In phase one of our family program, we provide immediate strategies to stop the spiral and break through denial. In phase two, you make progress in all areas of your life, including increased motivation, productivity, and social skills. For information on our coaching programs, you can go to gamequitters.com and click book a call in the top right corner, or email me directly, cam@gamequitters.com.
Michael, welcome to Game Quitters.
Thank you, Cam.
So we've been working together over the last, I guess, 4 months now. And yeah, it's really exciting to be able to talk about that journey.
Halfway through November. Yeah, that's when it was.
So bring us back to, how did you start playing video games? How old were you? What was that beginning journey like for you?
I started playing video games when I was about 13, 12 or 13, I think. That's when I really got into them in earnest. I'm kind of a nerd. I like Tolkien a lot. I love any fantasy hero story, I would just eat it up as a kid. I first got into Lord of the Rings Online. Shout out to, yeah, anyone who likes MMOs. It's an excellent MMO. I got into it and I loved it because it was, you became the hero. You became the hero. That was something that I just loved. I would dream up those kinds of fantasies as a kid, and play pretend like that with my friends, right? I mean, What young boy doesn't? So yeah, that's kind of where it started for me, was sort of hero games. And that led into the next game, which led into the next game. It was sort of sprinkled through my high school years.
And what was it about fantasy games themselves that you found you were so drawn to?
The thing that drew me most to those fantasy games was that there was real adventure there. Right. And I could always go back to those adventures when real life felt like not much like an adventure. Expectations and things seemed boring. And I tried really hard because I wanted to please people, but I was always terrified of not pleasing them. Right. It was an epic adventure right there. It's super easy. Yeah. That's the big draw, I think.
And you got to be the hero. Right, that you always want to be, you always look up to,
and you always look up to, right? And it's I mean, it's double, right? It's sort of double or triple when you're doing it with a friend. It's like, oh, we're slaying the bad guys, and we're saving people, or we're doing great things, being awesome men together, and that's super cool, right? That's kind of what it provided.
How did it make you feel to be that hero?
Like a man. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's probably the best way to say it. Yeah.
And so when did you know that gaming was starting to become a problem for you?
So, yeah, good question. It was pretty early on, really, in high school. My parents were great, and my dad set rules in place for us. But, you know, iPods were a thing. And that's kind of, I think that's kind of really where it took a downward turn I found some games and I would just take the iPod into the bathroom, you know, whatever, and just spend long periods of time. Obviously my parents knew that I was doing that. Parents always know. They always know. But that's where I really started noticing, wow, it was like, I didn't feel like I was free anymore. It was like, I started feeling like I had to. I couldn't put the kind of words to it that, having gone through this with you, that I can now. But I was just compelled. I was compelled to do it.
And were you like, so you were playing more, like how much were you playing?
During high school, it was during, so yeah, that's the start of it. During high school, it was like, for the most part, I would go long periods without playing it. But then I'd either, you know, then I'd kind of get stuck in it for like good week or multiple weeks at a time, you know, ranking up with a clan or something, and everyone's counting on you to be there. And so it just becomes more and more and more absorbing. But really though, like really when I got into college and it was, and I, my parents weren't there anymore. That's where it was like all night up until 5 a.m. sometimes, missing classes the next day. Like, that's where I was really, really, it was really obvious that it was a problem. It was really obvious. And I couldn't avoid the fact that it was a real issue.
And at that point, did you start to address it?
Yeah, good question. I tried. So I tried it's at times, but my strategy was kind of like I knew it was bad for me, and it was bad for the people around me, right? And it was affecting my ability to do school, which, by the way, I loved. I went to a school that I loved. Like, I loved the classes. I loved what we were reading. I loved what we were learning and discussing together. I mean, you were reading philosophy and science and mathematics and all this stuff. And I loved this stuff, but I would constantly, in my free time, my free time just got more and more and more consumed by this. And so I realized it was a problem. And then I just tried to like go cold turkey. I just cut it out completely. Once it got to that point, because it was just so easy to do in my free time that once it got to the point of consuming my free time, I was like, this is terrible. I'm super mad at myself now, beating myself up. And I just went completely off. And that would work for, you know, maybe a month at most. I don't even think it lasted that long ever, but it would just be back in. And if something got difficult at school or yeah, like I was having struggles with a relationship or whatever the thing might be at that point in time, it was just, that was the go-to. And then it would get super bad. And I try to rip away and go cold turkey. But have nothing to fall back on and then snap back into the cycle, you know, like a month later.
Right. So you'd come to a point where you realized that gaming was a problem. You tried to address it by kind of going cold turkey. And then after about a month, you'd end up finding yourself back in the same place, kind of triggered to play games again.
Yeah, I ended up finding like, I ended up coming back to that empty spot in me. Just like, what else did I have to? And that's at a certain point, I started justifying things a little bit that way, where I was just like, what else do I have to go back to? There's still that empty spot inside of me, you know? So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and like, just to be clear, at the worst parts, it was like night after night up to like 5 a.m. every morning. So I don't know how many hours that comes out to, but it's a lot. It was a lot.
And how many times do you think you repeated this cycle?
I mean, I went to college. I started college fall of 2017. And it's pretty much been a repeated cycle since then. The lengths of time that I've gone without video games is varied. I do the math. It's like almost 8 years now.
And at some point you did manage to graduate though.
I did. I did love the subject matter and I really wanted to do well. So I was able for a time, I'd say the majority of my senior year, actually, I met a girl who I really fell in love with and, I'm still dating. And, So that and a deepening of my spiritual life kind of made me go, okay, like I'm going to refocus. And I really put everything I could into my senior year. And I wrote my thesis, did a defense, graduated. That was awesome. And was super happy to like get off into the next stage. And to be honest with you, I kind of thought like I was done at that point. Like video games were just a thing of the past.
They weren't.
Turns out they weren't. Spoilers.
So bring us to that point. So you managed to graduate at the time, you know, that cycle had been going on for years. At times, senior year, you were able to really like focus, you know, not have it affect you as much, be able to really kind of willpower your way to graduate. Then you graduate, you get a job, you start working, you've met a girl, you're seeing kind of this future for your life. You thought games were in the past, but they were still sticking around. So what was your experience like when you started working and how were games affecting you then?
Yeah, great question. So when I started working, started coming up with the reality of mistakes. Anytime you do, you start something new, you know, you're not good at it right off the bat. And yeah, and I so my first job, IT, completely new to the stuff. All the guys around me are really good, and I start getting in there, learning, making mistakes, but it just becomes like people get upset. Like people get upset when I make a mistake, if it's, you know, if it's big enough, and that just started taking a toll on me. Like I would get so anxious all the time that I even like without even really realizing it, I started slipping into a couple of hours a night, like a few more hours a night, really late at night. And then it actually affected my work. And that's where it was like, then the snapback happened again, where I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta get back to it. So I did something new. That's kind of what happened. I started a new phase of my life. I wasn't, I didn't have people around me like telling me, go, good job at what you did. Like you did so well. You're so successful at this. Now all of a sudden I'm in a new place, new people around me. No, I'm bad at the thing because I'm learning it for the first time. And now it's you. And you just imagine this. It's like, well, I don't feel like a man here. I feel like the newbie, or I feel like the guy who just can't do anything right. You know, I'm doing something hard that's new. But I can feel awesome going back to these things. And I, even without realizing it, that's where the slip started to happen. Not, it didn't happen fast, but it was like, it was gradual. It was a gradual slip back.
And so that's where you started escaping back in the games, avoiding confronting things in your life. And you know, this is leading to late nights. It's leading to affecting your work. It's, you know, maybe affecting your relationship in some way.
Yeah.
And you start to realize, you start to realize this has been going on for years and years and years. And now, even though you've graduated, even though you have a job, it's still sticking around. So take us to that moment or those moments where you started to realize you really need to make a change, and this change has to be different than in the past.
After that first job, I ended up taking another one. Was interested in computer programming, so took some classes there, whatnot. Then I started looking for, once I took those classes, I started looking for a computer programming job, and all of a sudden, I failed my first interview, and that initiated another cycle, and a really bad one too, where I was like, looking for a job was really painful. But I eventually got the job, and I'm still with my parents at this point. Got a job, another one, which was super awesome. I started on that. But then came the next step, which is I actually moved out of the house. I moved out from my parents, and I went and got an apartment near my girlfriend. And now I'm on my own. And I was like determined at the beginning. I'm like, no, I'm going to, like, again, the willpower. I was like determined just by sheer willpower, I will not fall into the same video game trap, like the same video game habits. It didn't work. And it got so bad. What my real wake up call was when I missed meetings after meetings at work, and my manager comes to me and she's like, You gotta make a change. She's like, this is like a serious issue. We can't rely on you. And I realized it just like hit me like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna lose my job. And I think really that was the wake up call. For some time beforehand, I had been like thinking, man, I you know, I really love my girlfriend and I want to start, I have this life that I want to, get into. And I, if the vision is there, if I can just get over video games and I even started doing that successfully, but even started doing that successfully for like a couple of weeks in August and then fell back. And with nobody, and just me being there in my apartment and I'm not having anybody telling me what to do or expecting anything of me. It just got so bad that I couldn't even stay awake at work during the day and I was missing meetings. So, that was the main wake up call. And then realizing that trigger told me, wow, what I'm doing is not working. And where I'm going is really bad. And if I want this, I couldn't really see it. That wasn't as prominent in my mind. Prominently in my mind was just, I don't want bad things to happen. My life is going in a very bad direction right now. That's where I had been getting Cam's emails. Cam, I've been getting your emails for almost a year at that point. And I've been thinking like, man, you know, maybe getting some help would be good. Maybe so getting some advice might be good. And I at that point was like, well, this is it. Like, it's all or nothing. If I want anything like a life that I'm proud of, like if I want the chance at a life I'm proud of, this is the next step.
So then we met, we hopped on a call. We spoke. I remember that call because the way you articulated the fantasy that you found in games was so accurate. Mm-hmm. And that avoidance cycle and that kind of repeating, like quitting for a little bit, then falling back, quitting and falling back. But I remember the thing you really said that stood out to me was that you got to be a hero in these games. Mm-hmm. And you want to be a hero in your life.
Yeah.
And really that's the journey that we began on, you know, those 4 months ago was, how do you start to be that hero in your life that you look in the mirror and that you're proud of? So take us through, you know, what would be like one or two of the key ideas that we've been talking about over the last 4 months that you've really been able to take on and really be able to move forward in your life with?
The first thing was patience. The first thing was patience, because the first thing that needed to happen was I needed to clear my mind of all the effects and the thoughts of video games. I knew I wanted this life, but I couldn't see it. I didn't really believe that it was to be that hero life was to be found in my real day to day. It's just because the video games were so much more powerful. So the first key idea was patience. And that just meant not like willpowering my way, not like getting all worked up and willpowering my way through it. It just meant sitting back and accepting the pain that came with letting go of playing video games. So yeah, that's the first one. But then a couple of other key ones were actually looking for adventure. I went out into nature. Like I took hikes out into nature where I was away from the noise of the city and I could actually think. That's where I started to recover who I could be in my real life. What the hero looked like. What the hero actually looked like in my real life. That's where I started to recover like a vision for that was when I could, you know, go out and have an actual adventure. And then another key thing, and again, like I'm sure I'm missing a ton. We there were so many good things we worked on. But another key thing is learning to have good conflict, not avoiding, because I was so afraid of what other people thought of me. And so in all different areas of my relationships, I was avoiding things. I was avoiding facing hard questions, and that was huge. That was, if not, was probably the biggest. That's probably been the biggest thing, because it's really unlocked a sense of freedom. It's really unlocked a sense of freedom about my life and where it's going, because I'm starting to realize, oh, I can actually confront hard questions in a non-angry way, like in a non-violent way, where I'm actually still a gentleman. You can be a gentleman and face hard, like have hard conversations with people. So that was, I think, another key thing. I don't know. What, anything else come to mind for you, Kim?
I think those are the big ones. Like, I think the reframe from conflict being a bad thing to conflict actually can be a good thing and can actually lead to growth and can lead to more fulfillment and a more meaningful relationship, for example, or a more meaningful work situation. Conflict can be a really powerful tool.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a negative.
Yeah.
I think that's been the biggest thing. And for me, it's just been such a pleasure to see you stepping into that, because it takes a lot of courage, right? Conflict isn't the easiest thing to step into, but you've been willing to do that. And I just think that that's like such a powerful concept you can apply in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And to that point, apply. Like that's all of this kind of came together. All this kind of came together with the idea of you don't have to, and for an intellectual and someone who loves reading, loves stories and loves reading, unlike me, this was really an eye opener, but you don't have to know everything. And you don't have to know everything. You don't have to, you don't have to even remember all the things you learn in order to grow. All you need to do is identify something that could help in a big way, and then do that one thing. And all of a sudden other things start making sense to you. I think that's the biggest kind of like as a kind of an overview of what just happened in 4 months. Cause I look back sometimes, I'm like, has it only been 4 months? It's only been 4 months. It feels completely different. That's cause before I was blind, I didn't even realize how blind I didn't even realize that I was blind. Life just seemed a dread and a chore. And video games seemed like the only good thing. And then, but at the same time, after video games, it felt terrible. I felt terrible about myself. I honestly thought that I would never, I honestly can remember thinking, there's no way I'm going to get out of this. There's no, like, this feels like a complete trap. But just that working, like having you to talk to about it and having you to talk to about these things, but most importantly, like pick one thing at a time and apply it. It started opening my eyes. And as that happens, the next step gets easier because you start to see, oh, this is not actually like what could be, what my life could be is so awesome. Well, that could be, and what it's becoming is so awesome. And I couldn't even see that before because I was so, my eyes were so covered.
Exactly. And that's been the most beautiful piece, right? Is your life can be this amazing adventure. You can be this hero that you aspire to be. And when you're caught in living the hero journey through anime, through fantasy novels, through video games, you, deep down, you want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're watching it in someone else rather than being it yourself. But you can be the hero for yourself. And it's such a fulfilling experience in life. And so for you, you were taking action, you were applying things, but you don't need to do a lot of things. You just need to do a couple things in the right way and do them one at a time, and you can get there.
Yeah.
But the cool part, I think, also is like, obviously you came into this with kind of a cycle around games where you escaped and you'd relapse and you'd slip up and you'd fall back in. But eventually we kind of addressed the gaming cycle in the first kind of month or so. And after that, it was really enhancing other parts of your life and moving forward. So you're building a life you don't need to escape from.
Right.
It was at that point, it was quite easy to not really focus on gaming anymore and just to move forward.
Yeah, that was the most amazing. I think that was one of the most amazing things really is that, and halfway through we kind of looked back and I just was shocked. We kind of looked back and I realized like, wow, there was so much there in my life that like, you know, there were questions I wasn't confronting. There were ways of growing that I didn't even know were possible. There were things that mattered so much in my life, like really concrete steps of growth that mattered so much that video games weren't even the focus. Yeah, I think that's the best way to say it is that like before video games were just kind of like a blanket you throw over your messy room so you can pretend that it's not actually there, right? It was kind of just a cover up. And for the big change, and because I mean, you know, you might ask, and I asked myself this initially, like if I have fallen back into video games before, into like really fallen back into the bad cycle, into the really bad cycle of it, how do I know that this time is different? And I just knew it because the focus wasn't, again, like, yeah, like you're saying, the focus just wasn't on video games anymore. The focus was on my life. And the focus was on those really important pieces of my life that really mattered, that I was just covering up with, that I was just using video games to kind of cover up. Yeah, I think that was also a key takeaway for sure.
And what I want to share quickly is this goes into a question of, is it gaming that's the problem or is gaming just a symptom of other issues going on? Mm-hmm. And now this is a nuanced question, but in this case, this is such a good example of this where gaming as the cover up, if you're not able to address gaming, you're not able to then look underneath and actually address the things that are really going on deep down. And when gaming is such a compulsion where you're playing it and you're playing it and you're playing it and you can't stop playing it, you need to start there. And then what happens is when you address that, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, there are other things that you need to address. But then you can start to address them. If you simply just stop gaming, it's not going to change your life in a significant way unless you then address the things that are really going on underneath the surface. Now, those are both addressing things that might be an issue, and that also might be enhancing ways that you can really be moving forward, right? So in my life, I had to address the low self-esteem I had from being bullied and the lack of social skills and the lack of motivation. But then I had to go and set goals and pursue relationships, pursue career, pursue a vision, pursue goals, and really move my life forward. So it was so much better than the life I was when I was playing video games. For you, you had to address that cycle where you constantly were putting your focus and attention escaping into games, living a fantasy world that wasn't actually what you really wanted. But then you had to do the work to improve your job, improve your relationship, improve the vision you have, improve the goals that you have, and really move forward. So you are that character that you really are proud of, and you are living that life that's real, but is the adventure that you really want. And so I want to encourage everyone watching that if you're having trouble moving forward in your life, addressing gaming is often the thing that will unlock the ability to then do the work that really needs to be done to both address things that are keeping you back and start to move forward so you can really accomplish new goals.
This is directed for anyone who's watching, because I mean, Cam, you and I and us here, like we've all been there. Like we've been there. And I mean, in a sense, I'm still there because I still make mistakes, but I'm improving. And like, trust us, it will happen. Like as you go through that initial hard part of setting the video games aside. I think that's the best way. It's not like you're not like focusing on them and trying to smash them with a hammer. You're setting them aside. You're clearing the curtains so you can see, right? You will get there. It's that will happen if you persevere.
100%. And so looking forward, if someone is sitting on the fence, they're realizing gaming is a problem for them. They've been having issues for some time. They're really looking to move forward in their life, but they're kind of on the fence about what is this coaching program really like? Does it really work? And what would you share about your experience with the coaching program?
First thing I'd share is that you need other men. You need other guys. You need mentors. Cam is an excellent mentor. And you need other men who can encourage you. That's the number one thing. You can't do it. You cannot do it all alone. I told myself that for a long time. That's what it comes down to. I wish I had called Cam. I wish I had started this a lot sooner. Yeah, I think that's really the big thing I'd say is that you need wisdom. You need wisdom, and that's to be found. I've really found it here. Here, Cam's helped me see it, and we've worked at it. Like we've been at this together, and it's not just. I think one mistake that I made, certainly, and I'm sure other people made when they're thinking about a coaching program, is it's like a bunch of psychology a bunch of like therapy sessions. It's not. A coach is a much better way to describe it. Someone who's done the hard thing and they understand, like you're doing the training, but he's there giving advice. And sometimes you just talk about life. Like it is not a therapy session. It's not therapy. It's completely different than any therapy than any idea of therapy you probably have. I'd really say, yeah, it really truly is coaching in the best ways, because you only get a coach to excel at something that you care about. And that's in this area for video games, for us who have this challenge, is the kind of coaching that I needed to excel in this area, or to get started on that track at least.
It's been such a pleasure, man. And for me, like being able to not just do the calls, which I've enjoyed every single one, right? The interactions in between the calls, but just seeing where we started and where you are now, and seeing you grow and seeing you step into that man that you've always wanted to be, one where you can look in the mirror and be proud of who you are, that you have the courage to really be that person and to stop escaping and avoiding it, but really be it and start to become that and step into that. For me, it's been super special to be a part of. I couldn't be more proud of you. And I can't wait to see how this continues to go in the future. I know that I'm going to be getting updates from you on just all the cool things and the milestones that you're reaching. And I know one day we're going to be able to go on a hike together ourselves and really kind of share a moment like that. So I look forward to that.
Those hills in Thailand sound pretty good.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime, my friend. It's a little hot though, but it'll be we'll be all right. But just couldn't be more proud of you and appreciate you coming on today to share your story with everyone else, share some advice that you've been able to gather. And I just think like you're such a great example of someone who realized enough was enough. You decided that you were going to address it. You sought out advice and expertise to be able to do it that made it much quicker for you, and you were finally able to break the cycle. And now you get to enjoy the benefits of that as you go forward, not just now, but also into the future of your life. And so I just appreciate you being here to share your story, and thank you for being a part of Game Quitters.
Thank you for having me, Cam. It's been much more than a pleasure. I would say the pleasure is all mine.
It's definitely mutual, man.
Yeah.
So we'll see you soon. All right. And for anyone watching, if you haven't subscribed already, definitely do that. Leave a comment below. And if you want to learn more about the coaching program, you can check the links in the description. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Take care.
Thanks so much for listening to the Gaming the System podcast. I hope you got value out of today's episode. On gamequiz.com, we have hundreds of YouTube videos, articles, and other podcast episodes to help you get control over gaming. We also have bespoke coaching programs where we work directly with you and your family to get gaming under control for good. For information on our coaching programs, email me directly, cam@gamequiz.com, or go to gamequiz.com and click book a call on the top right corner, and I'll share information with you then. Together, we will get your son back on track, and we look forward to working directly with you